Ay bobo. Welcome to the Agua Cerrito podcast show, where we honor the divine, spark personal liberation, and deconstruct Haitian voodoo. I'm your host, Knowledge, also known as Konef Kife. Every episode is a digital offering to the sacred spirits, ancestors, and vibrant culture of Haitian voodoo. Through storytelling, interviews, and reflections, we will explore its roots, its power, and its impact. Voodoo is more than spirituality. It is life, legacy, and liberation. Ay bobo. Welcome to today's Tea Limia episode. On the Agua Cerrito show, we end every episode with either Gaga music, Racine music, or what we call Rabodai music. I'm probably going to do a couple of different Tea Limias on Racine and Rabodai music, because you will hear them interchangeably at the end of every episode between those three different like subgenres of music. But today, I wanted to spend some time unpacking and talking about Gaga music and its importance to voodoo. In terms of Gaga is a traditional Haitian form of music that is deeply rooted in the country's history, in the country's spirituality, as well as its importance on building and strengthening community. There's a website, Center for Traditional Music and Dance. I think it has like the perfect description or phrase of how it defines Gaga music. So on that website, they say that Gaga is part carnival, part voodoo ceremony, and grassroots protest. Gaga originally served as a voice of the slaves in their revolt against the French, and as a voice of those struggling with ongoing dictatorships in Haiti. And I think that's such a great, like, summary way to encapsulate Gaga and its importance in the Haitian community. Gaga music played a pivotal role. It played a vital role during the Haitian Revolution. And it centers on a set of bamboo and metal trumpets and shakers and wind instruments. So it's kind of a combination of that. And it's like some people use it and see it as like a mobile ritual, right? It's a moving ritual. And it is fascinating. It is a fascinating phenomena. And the songs and the melodies and the lyrics within the Gaga are just as important as the sound of the actual instruments playing, because the reason for that is because typically the lyrics of a Gaga song, it's super intentional, right? There's usually either a deep spiritual connotation to the lyrics, there's a deep cultural connotation that's maybe depicting what is happening in Haitian life at that particular moment in time. Or there is a deep socio-political significance to the messages. So Gaga music is essentially used as almost like a call, right? It's almost like a call to action, but in song and in a form of musical resistance in a way. So what's really interesting is that the processions and, you know, the Gaga processions that you may see sometimes taking place, they blend both music, they blend religion, and they blend resistance. And so we sometimes see that we may see what we call a Gaga band playing during like Mardi Gras, which is the time frame before the Lent and Easter season, where people come, they kind of come together, they march through the streets, they're playing these instruments, they're singing and dancing. There's usually, again, lyrics have significant meanings, right? And sometimes lyrics can be used to weaponize a particular topic. But they're used in a lot. They're used for a variety of reasons, whether it's spiritual, it's cultural, or political. There is a règlement. You know, I talked about règlement in episode one. There is a règlement to using a Gaga band. So if you are ever privy to see a Gaga band playing, understand that it is very intentional. While people are having fun and it's so hypnotic, it's so cool, you cannot not hear, at least for me, you cannot not hear a Gaga band and don't get up and start dancing. But there's usually more than what you see on the surface. And that strategic lens is what makes Gaga music not only so unique, I find it to be extremely powerful as a means of resistance, as well as a mean of communication, right? So if we go back to the Haitian Revolution, and again, I will have an episode where I do spend time talking about maybe a couple of episodes, because it's so much to unpack, to talk about the Haitian Revolution. But Gaga processions during the revolutionary times was a mean of covert communication amongst enslaved Africans. Because there was, you know, the music had coded lyrics, it carried messages, it helped kind of not only it was like a rallying cry, it also had messages around strategy, meeting times of specific aspects of the movement, revolutionary intent, right? It allowed the enslaved Africans at that time to organize in a way that, again, on the surface, it just looks like they're having fun. But it would allow them to organize right in front of the colonial authorities without them even realizing what was happening. So it's extremely powerful. And, you know, like I said, we're going to talk about the Haitian Revolution, but specifically musical instruments. Musical instruments play a pivotal role in voodoo, particularly the drums. I think the drums are so important. I probably will in the future do a whole episode just talking about the drums and their role, not only in the Haitian Revolution, but their role within voodoo. Because the drums are extremely powerful spiritual significance. But the rhythms of a Gaga band, it not only unified those around, it helped create a sense of empowerment, a sense of strength, and a sense of defiance, because it was happening right under the colonizers, right? It was happening, but again, on the surface, it just looks like just unfiltered fun, when there was a lot of strategic intent behind every element of Gaga music, right? Gaga really served as a source, not only for spiritual empowerment, but also psychological resilience during the revolutionary times. Think about the importance of mind, body, spirit connection, especially at a time where people felt like everything was stripped from them. Their identities were stripped from them. Their families were stripped from them. Their cultural elements, all of that was stripped from them. So when, you know, an individual was listening to Gaga music and listening to the messages and listening to the empowerment, it did something in terms of creating resilience and and from a psychological perspective to say, we can overcome, we can move on. You know, Gaga really reinforced the idea that freedom was the goal, but it was also a spiritual mandate. Freedom was a spiritual mandate, which goes back to why Haitian voodoo is seen and centers Black liberation. And Gaga played a major function in that happening. Gaga also, because of how it preserves certain African traditions, whether it was in the musical instruments, it was in the moving ritual, so to speak, aspects of the genre, it really helped resist erasure of identity, right? Even if the enslaved Africans didn't have anything else, they had Gaga. They had something, they had a music that reminded them of their roots, right? It reminded them of their humanity. And it reminded them that they can overcome. And so you know, many, many of the enslaved Africans literally leaned on Lala as almost like a spiritual boost in terms of what it did to the psyche. There is not one person of Haitian descent that I personally know of that when they don't hear Lala music, it doesn't matter whether they practice the Haitian voodoo or not, but when you hear Lala music, there's something it does. There's something, it kind of stirs up the soul because it was designed to be a rallying cry. And so if we think about Lala and its connection back to voodoo, Gaga remains intertwined with voodoo because it was central to the revolution. And voodoo was central to the Haitian revolution. And so enslaved Africans, through Gaga as a genre, they were able to invoke their ancestral spirits and their laws for protection and strength and guidance during the fight for liberation. And so because of that, Gaga is intricately linked to voodoo practices, and it's typically used with ceremonies. It may be used at different points depending on the Laku, and Laku is the community or the voodoo temple, depending on sometimes what we use the word bitation, right? Depending on the family, the familial lineage of a particular practitioners. So Gaga sometimes is used in the beginning, before ceremony takes place. You may see like a Gaga band playing. Sometimes, depending on the lineage, you may see Gaga is played at the end of a ceremony, almost like a way to celebrate, right? We sometimes see Gaga is used as almost like a break in the middle of certain sessions. People frequently honor the laws and the spirits during those Gaga processions when it's used from a Haitian voodoo context. So again, sometimes Gaga is not used in voodoo, right? It's used from a like a Haitian cultural lens, but when it is used in a voodoo context, it can be used before, during, or after a specific ceremony. We sometimes see Gaga processions include stops at different sacred sites, you know, that is important in voodoo. So places like the crossroads, sometimes within the cemeteries. Sometimes you see Gaga bands in the actual voodoo temples. Sometimes you see them outside of the temple when offerings are being made and, you know, spirits are being invoked. They're used interchangeably, and because they are the music, you know, at least within voodoo, and we're going to talk about this in a future episode, voodoo music is a form of prayer. So when you have these bands coming together and they're playing songs, let's say for a specific spirit or to give a specific message, it's essentially prayer that's taking place. And it kind of takes on the lens of being like a mobile altar, in a sense, that's moving, or a mobile ritual. So it's a very fascinating and it's a very important embedded cultural icon within the Haitian community. So I think it was important to talk about Gaga, and that you may hear the song and it has like a little jingle to it and it sounds cool at the end of the episode. In voodoo, Gaga is thought to bring healing. It's thought to support the community, strengthen the community. It's thought to spiritually cleanse a space and to ward off negative energies because of the frequency of the music and because of the kind of the vibration that it embodies, the intent that goes into making this music. So you sometimes will see also, just from a cultural lens, you sometimes may see also a Gaga band playing, let's say, at the end of a sports event. I've seen most recently sometimes Gaga bands are playing at the end of like, let's say, like a concert. So there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of different ways that Gaga is used, but within voodoo, it is an absolutely essential component of the faith and important to highlight. That is today's Tilimia. We look forward to seeing you in our next episode on the Agua Cerito Show. Thank you for joining us on the Aguacerito podcast show. Together we honor our ancestors, embrace the beauty of Vodou, and step boldly toward liberation. If this episode resonated with you, don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. It helps us amplify the spirit of Haitian Vodou even further. Join us next week as we continue this journey to connect, inspire, and uplift. Until then, walk boldly with your spirits. And remember, the Aguacerito Show is not just a podcast. It is a vibration, a celebration, a path to freedom.